that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel,
that old wheel,
is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning, Remnant, and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers. This is Wrangler Richard. We're coming to you live from the Radio Ranch. Oh, not quite sunrise yet, but it's a looks like it's going to be a beautiful, partly cloudy day. But we welcome you here this 11th month, the 26th day, November 26th, the Saturday after Thanksgiving. And we've been away, been doing a little traveling, being about the Father's business. But we're back with a live program this Saturday morning. And we've got a full crew this morning. Brother Tim, thanks for joining us. Good morning.
Good morning.
And Brother Paul, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning.
And Jason, good morning.
Good morning.
And Brother Josh, glad to have you back. I know you've been working an awful lot lately, but sure glad to have you with us this morning. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And Remnant, we say good morning to you and welcome. Thanks for tuning in all across the nation. Whether you're listening on the phone or at the website, scripturesforamerica.org, on the live stream there. And we'll have the phone lines open this morning in just a little bit, 307-745-5913. But we're going to open up with a word of prayer. And Jason, we sure turn to you for that this morning, sir.
Well, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for all the many blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day. We thank you for this time of the year, Father, that we can, hopefully that we can see your people turning back to you and being thankful for what they should be thankful 365 days out of the year. Lord, we just ask, Father, for a moving of your Holy Spirit across this land. We pray that you continue to guide and direct your people, the Remnant. We ask, Father, that you fight with those that fight against us, war with those that are warring against us, Father, those that dig a pit for us, see to it that they're the ones that fall into it. Yes. Lord, we just cry out to you for you to save us from the hands of our enemies and those that hate us. Help us to draw closer to you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
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 Amen. Well, Ben, I'll open it up. I've got a couple things to touch base on, but anybody have something they want to open up with? I'll sure turn it over to you.
Yeah, one of the things that I wanted to talk about is free speech versus hate speech. You're hearing more and more right now about hate speech, and I watched some videos of some people that were just asking people on the streets, you know, do you believe in free speech? And you know, they said, oh yeah, we believe in free speech. And they're like, what about hate speech? Do you think that hate speech should be outlawed? Oh yeah, we should outlaw hate speech. So you don't believe in free speech? And basically, it's pretty much that simple. It's like, are you for free speech or are you against it? And most of the people that were, saying that we should ban hate speech and it should be outlawed. Well, what should the fine be for hate speech? Should it be imprisonment? Should it be the death penalty? Should it be a fine? A jail sentence? What should it be? And they didn't believe that jail time should go along with it, but a fine should go along with it. And, you know, it's what hate speech is to one person is love to another person. It's like, how can you even define what hate speech is? And I know that with these shootings and stuff that have taken place, there's a lot of people that are calling about it. There's stuff, you know, all over the country. You know, stop the hate speech, and how does anybody define that? Is the question, and because that's based on one person's opinion on what hate speech would be.
Yeah, it's a pretty good deal as long as you're the guy that's deciding what can be said.
Yeah, if you're right in the dictionary, you're in good shape, right? Yeah, just.
Yeah, I didn't know, Josh. Do you know anything about this Jimbo Fisher down there?
No, sir.
Okay. Well, there's this guy down in Mississippi, and he was pulled over by this trooper Jason Young down there, and. It turned into a pretty big story. So basically, he was pulled over and cited and illegally charged for a crime. And then he posted about the incident on Facebook. And before his trial date, he was pulled over again by the same trooper and cited again. And even a third time. And basically, when he went to court and they told him he had a lawyer and everything, and they told him, well, they said, if you delete your posts, we'll drop all the charges against you within 6 months. And, he stuck to his guns and said, no, I'm not going to delete anything. I'm like, people need to be aware about what's going on here. So in the last 2 weeks, they had about 1,000 people that were, had joined up this, it's called the Trooper Jason Young Watchdog Group. And within the last 2 weeks, about another 9,000 people have joined it. And it's getting some pretty good publicity. There's some videos on it. The whole thing is laid out on YouTube and stuff. And, I mean, it shows this officer going down the road, talking on the phone with his body cam's going, and it talks about him. I'm trying to hunt him down. I'm going to find him. I know where he works and what time he gets off work, and I'm gonna find him and find him and arrest him and just arrest him for nothing. Has his vehicle towed. He ends up doing this several times, and there's a lot of other people that he's been doing this to. And so it's gotten to be a pretty big deal. December 9th is a trial day, so keep that in prayer, because I think this guy is, he's got a lot of people mad at him right now. The judge is mad at him, prosecuting attorneys, the whole defense system is mad at him because he's exposing so much corruption there in the community. And, so that's something to be aware of.
Yeah, that was real, really, it really gets your dander up when you look at it. I mean, it'll bring your ire level up. I looked at a bunch of that there. last night. It's like, yeah, they impounded the guy's truck and basically were, it amazes me how, these people who are evildoers in situations like that, they're, well, it's nothing personal. I'm just doing my job. But, you know, your return to them is it is personal because you're doing it against me personally. You know? So, the only way it's not personal is if you're doing it to a rock out there or something. So, and that's such a cop out, that it not being personal. So,
yeah. And Tim, it's a lie. You know, when it, like you said, Jason, when, you know, when they've got the guy recorded saying, and when you know what he's doing, hey, I'm looking for this guy. I'm hunting him down. He's not out looking for speeders. He's not out looking for broken taillights. He's looking for this one person to come against him. And so it is personal, you know, don't lie about it. It is personal. And you know, I think we're seeing more and more of that. And more of it being called out. You know, we've talked quite a bit over the, you know, over the months and really over the years, especially the last couple of years, the big school board changes, that have come in the last year and having just a recent election, back in what, 1st of November? We see changes all across the country in school boards. Now, it's not that they got fixed, but changes. That's a good thing. There's people that are seeing, just like this, situation that you're talking about, that are able to share it across the country. And then others, hey, yeah, this has happened to me. And so the sorcery, the evil that has worked in the past that has gone just unchecked. We're seeing some checks on it. We're seeing some, I think some people waking up to it and saying, hey, wait a minute. No, we're not going to allow you to do that anymore. And that should be encouraging to you, Remnant. It is. It's encouraging.
Yeah, definitely a lot of things going on in the world. That's for sure. And it's changing. And like you said, Black Friday sales are down. I've been hearing that, then most of the time I won't even go to town on a Black Friday. I had to run to the bank and do a couple errands and I was in town and that's what I noticed. The stores, did not have the people that were expected. I went to, stopped in the gun shop real quick and looked around there and I mean, they had all their Black Friday specials out and there was still stuff standing there and there was not that many people. I mean, it felt like it was more like a Saturday than a Friday, but it still there wasn't the people in town. We went into several places on our way home, and there was they didn't have the turnout. I mean, it was pretty obvious.
You know, on that subject, I've been a Scrooge for some time now because not against Christ and you know the death, burial, and resurrection, but against what Christmas has turned into and the commercialization, the expectations of presents and more presents and better presents every year and bigger and better and money and credit card debt in January, February, and March trying to catch up from Christmas. And over the years, it's just I've gotten more and more against that. And but I've noticed that and so whenever somebody wants to talk about Christmas, that's what I talk about. And the fact that it's not, the holiday that the title would denote. But, I've noticed more people recently have gotten in that same frame of mind, you know, just that it's what they've made Christmas into is not a good thing. It's not good for us. And, it's a lie. So I don't know if, or I feel like that might be a little part of it. Not just the economical side of it, but just the economic, excuse me, side of it, but also of people, you know, getting fed up of what, the way we've been manipulated and shaped in our culture.
I certainly think that's part of it.
There's a guy here, he's a Baptist, and he's got a nice old Santa Claus and a sleigh in his yard, and he's got a nativity time scene set in his yard. Now, you talk about double-mindedness. This is the crap that, you know, brings Santa Claus into it. No, what's that got to do with Christ's birthday? You know, it's just the double-mindedness. We got to be nice to these people. I told Pastor Peter Long, one of my biggest problems in life is being nice to people I should have nothing to do with. But that's the double-mindedness that we have in Judea, you know, just like hate. Well, you know, the gospel is hate to a Canaanite, and it's love to us. So, you know, freedom of speech, you gotta have the right to say what you think. Now, wise people who guard their words and speak wisely, but sometimes you got to listen to an idiot run his mouth. There's a lot of that happening. But, yeah, free speech, you got to accept people. What went on here in Michigan, I personally feel that the election was stolen, but there was some people that came out, stood on the Bible, and not one of them got put in place. I mean, and it was, I was a little disheartened over it myself, but the thing of it is, people have to have their face rubbed in the dirt more until they get it. You know, people thought they could bolt their way out of this mess. I was in the gun shop the other guy, and the guy's a real knothead, religious jackass is what he is. And he said, well, we got to put 4 more years. And it just struck me, you're turning to the wrong God for your answer for this. You know, we can't bolt our ways out of this. We have to go back to the truth. I mean, this country was built on scripture. You know, you read the founding fathers, and this was all based on scripture, and it's all been lost because of this thing, being nice to people. You know, if the truth offends you, too bad for you.
Good.
That's right.
Because, you know, when I met Pastor Peters, he kind of offended me too, but he kept telling the truth, and I got a hold of it finally, you know, but I wasn't too fond of the guy in the first, but I just couldn't let it go. So here I am.
Well, go ahead, Josh.
Well, that double-mindedness, Paul, and I've had parallel conversations. You know, you're talking to a guy, yeah, we got to win this, and, you know, we got to have these midterms, but this one's got to get this seat, and that one's got to get that seat for this to happen, and this one. And, like, okay, so we got it. This election is pivotal. Oh, yeah, it's a big key election. Like, all right, well, do you believe they stole the last presidential election? Well, hell yeah, they stole it, blah, 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 you know, and like, okay. But yet you're counting on this election to turn the tide and change the direction we're going in this country. Yeah, we got to get this one. All right, pal. Good deal.
Yeah, it's just more of the same. Because they've taken the people's faith and hope away in turning to the right God.
It's all that faith and belief thing. Do you believe that they stole the last election? Yes, yes, I do. Then what do you believe is different about this one? You
know what I mean? Yeah.
So it's like, I was in the same, Josh summed it up great. Actually, it's pretty much what I was going to say. So, but the other thing that about kind of to jump back to the freedom of speech thing just for a second is the fact that you have freedom of hearing. Or freedom of listening. You know, there's a lot of verses in the Bible about listening and hearing. And what we have is we have these people that are double-minded, like Jason said early on there about, well, they believe in freedom of speech, but they don't believe that it's free. And they don't believe that it's only okay, as long as it's what they believe or if it doesn't offend them. Well, you have selective hearing. You know, I mean, you can go somewhere else. You can stop up your ears, not listen. If you don't like it, if the Spirit's not bearing witness with you, if you're not ready to hear it, move along. You know, I mean, it's like, I can remember as a child, there's a few times my dad said, you're not hearing what I'm saying. It was usually associated with stronger things happening later after that. You know, it's like, since your ears aren't working, we'll try a different connection point. But, you know, the point is, you know, you can listen, you cannot listen. That's the definition of free speech and hate speech that lies within you, within each individual. If to you that is not good speech and is not something that you can bear, move along. Don't listen to it. Change the radio dial. You know, I mean, you don't have to. That's the truest part of freedom. So.
You're referring to that wrestling with the pig. You know, if you stay there and wrestle with him, guess what? You're going to get it on you, you know. But on the same token, it is good for us, too, to have conversations with other folks and non-believers. And
I agree, yeah.
And then examine, okay, this is where I stand. Am I standing on a biblical truth, or is this something that my grandpa told my dad, and maybe it's just a tradition of men? So we need to make sure that, especially on the important points, the pivotal points, that we're grounded in the Word and grounded in truth and where we're supposed to be, because we're not above being wrong or deceived either. And whenever you have a good, stimulating conversation with someone, it helps you as much as it does them to measure where you're at and why.
Amen.
Yes, amen. Well, Remnant, the phone lines are open this morning, 307-745-5913. Didn't know if quite a few reportings of shootings over right before Thanksgiving and Thanksgiving, the Club Q shooting down in Colorado Springs. And, of course, the first thing that comes out is that it's some MAGA supporter, right-wing conservative in there shooting the queers. That was the first thing that came out. You know, come to find it's a 300-pound non-binary, who knows what, mentally ill person that tried to bomb and kill his mother last year, and they slapped him on the wrist and didn't put him in jail. And you know, so the truth comes out. Did anybody see what they posted about this Walmart manager shooting? Did anybody read that? See that? That what was posted. He had some supposedly, manifestos, this thing he had typed out, and it was rambling on about demons and the Holy Spirit and people that manifested as demons to him, and just on and on. And it finished up saying, I guess his mom had died of cancer. And it finished up saying that apricot seeds cure cancer, not doctors. And anyway, it just was, you know, one of those things that are out there that had several things kind of looped into it. But didn't know if anybody else had seen that. But I just thought that kind of caught my attention. And one of those things that make you say,
Well, it's uniquely interesting to me when I've seen a lot of these things go by, and I don't know whether it's just because information is more readily available across various platforms today or what, but it seems like this veil is getting very thin I don't know what you want to call it, the unseen realm is usually the words I use, but the heavenly realms are the. But that battle rages on every day. And I've said that before. I said, you know, there's a reason that we cannot see the unseen is because I don't think, and everyone's probably not that way, but the majority of us are, I don't think we're just not set up to deal with it, to understand it in this form. And there's the power that is being expended and the protection that is being granted to God's people right now passes all our understanding. I think that God's people are under attack, and it's the death throes of the satanic might and majesty. I mean, these times are getting there, and if just it's just popping through all over. You know, I mean, as far as the evil ones doing their thing, and also I think there's an awakening with God's people as these things are poured out on them. Their eyesight gets better. Their hearing gets better. Their hearts get more receptive. And as that happens, you're going to be able to see things that you couldn't see and hear things that you couldn't hear and understand things that you couldn't understand and accept things that just, you know, you just couldn't quite make happen before, you know, as far as in regards to the godly kingdom and God's way of doing things. Because this old man, this unnatural thing that we created in the Garden of Eden is, it's going away, and God's going to put it back in order. And he's doing it. And that's, and I think that's a lot of what we're seeing. So.
Amen. Well, Tim.
I agree with Tim.
Let's go to the phone lines. Josh, can you hold just a sec? Let's go to Tim on the phone. Tim from Wisconsin. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I tell you one piece of hate speech that needs to be outlawed, stomped out, got rid of, totally obliterated, and that's using the name of Jesus Christ as a curse word. And I got a good dose of that a couple weeks ago. I went into a restaurant and I sat down and I ordered, and I think it was one of the owners of the restaurant. He just used the name of Jesus Christ as a curse word right in front of me. And I told him, I said, wasn't even talking to me. He was talking to somebody else. And I just overheard it. He was close to me. And I told him, I said, you're bringing a curse on yourself, you know, by saying that, by doing that. And he said, well, I've been cursed my whole life, you know, but that's hate speech. And that needs to be outlawed.
It is outlawed. God said.
That's right. And the double-mindedness of that man, Tim, saying he's been cursed all his life. Does he not wonder why? You know, guess what? Why? How about, I remember Pastor talking to our neighbor Art about that one time out here. Art was up here working on the tractor, old man Art. And he was just a cussing up a storm, this GD tractor and blah, blah, blah. And Pastor finally told him, Art, you know, we want God's blessing on this tractor, not his curses. And he said it took him back. And so, Tim, I think it was a good job, you know, confront the guy. Maybe you planted a seed that he might think about that in the future.
Yeah, well, I think we can thank the Talmudic toilet media for basically conditioning the people to do that, you know, because they got some great power, you know, when they came out with the yada, yada, yada thing on the Steinfeld show or whatever, they had the whole country was like, you know, yada, 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 right? And that's the kind of thing I think the reason these people are using the name as a curse word, that is because of the Talmudic toilet media, you know, but nevertheless, I mean, they managed to get these people to use the name of the living God. Jesus is alive. He did resurrect. He is ascended into heaven and he sits at the right hand of the Father. He's above all power, rule, and authority. And they're using his name, and he's the only one that can help us at this point.
Amen.
But, anyway, that is hate speech. It needs to be outlawed and forbidden in this country, you know.
Amen, Tim. Well, Tim, God bless. Thanks for the call, brother. Have a great day. Amen. Josh, I didn't mean to interrupt you, brother. Go ahead.
So I'll go with Tim first. That Talmudic toilet, as he called it, the TV, is no doubt a powerful weapon that's been used against us. But that's not what what has that fellow cursing God, the fact that he doesn't know God and he doesn't love God. And apparently he does not fear God. And that being the most important is what's got him in that position of where he's at to curse God. And I was just thinking about it as I was listening to Tim talking, and it would certainly make me angry as well to hear that. And I want to have a conversation with him, but, from what I know, and you all can correct me because I want to know if there's something different, but everyone's always had to choose Christ. He hasn't pushed himself on anyone. It's got to be something that you choose. You got to choose to follow the way. And from what I've seen, he's not about pushing people into choosing him. There's many that have left the path and were destroyed through it. So don't know that you can make a law to make someone have to, or, you know, an earthly law, a law in our country, that someone can't curse Jesus because I don't think that's the way that it operates. That's just the other side of that freedom of speech coin is, you know, people say things that you don't like as well.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think a lot of times when we say cry out to God, and I think sometimes there's some heathens out there, and this thought occurred to me one other time, and the conversation of with these people is a correct way to handle that. And I've done that. I've called people out on it multiple times over the years. But the fact of the matter is they may very well, through the spirit or through their the anguish of their heart and their body, I've been cursed forever, Lord, you know, through that anguish, they're crying out, and they may be using the name incorrectly or wrongly, but some part of their depth of their soul and spirit and anguish is, it's a cry for help. It's just like a lot of times people who do damage to themselves or others. I mean, it's a physical manifestation of a deeper need, you know, and I think that, I think sometimes there is that. And then of course there are just those vile and evil sons of hell who do nothing but, deride and, you know, seek to sully every good thing. But, some of these folks are, I mean, I've actually talked to people in years gone by where they stop and they're like, well, I'm just really upset and don't know what else to say, you know? So there's that angle on it too, I think. And that's kind of my thought.
There's another thing I hate is Mother Nature. I tell people say Mother Nature. I said, God don't like being called a mother. You know, that's something on their tail.
True.
And so one of mine is, lucky. Boy, that sure is lucky that that truck didn't run over us. No, it ain't lucky. It's a blessing from God. Whenever you give credit to luck, you're taking that reverence and that, you know, being thankful to God and throwing it in a ditch somewhere. You know, we should mind our words and not when God blesses us, sure shouldn't lay it off on luck. We should be thankful that he gave us a blessing, recognize that, and thank him for it.
Yeah, give honor to where honor is due.
Amen.
Exactly.
Well, guys, let's go back to the phone line. Stephen, thanks for calling.
Good morning, brothers. I found something really interesting on YouTube, and it's from a brother. His name on YouTube is J-Griff, G-R-I-F-F channel. And the title of the one YouTube that I found very telling is J-Griff Exposes How the System Operates, Etymology Masterclass. So it's an explanation of the Matrix. Now, if you go 14 minutes in, he has a tweet from Trump dated September 18th, 2019, while Trump was president. And Trump was asked mockingly if he ever read the Constitution. So Trump replied, how many of you are able to figure out how the 14th Amendment works? It was designed to put the people into a legal fiction, giving up your rights for privileges and immunities. By voting for me or anyone in office, you have committed a crime against your Republican form of government. Try to figure that out and then ask if I've read the Constitution. So this matrix that we're looking at, run by bar attorneys, and you could go to U.S. Code, Title 1, Section 1, it's one page, and it defines how words are defined. And it gives a little light on what we're dealing with. So we have work to do. And this matrix is being exposed. And this brother here, J-Griff Channel, gives a great explanation of, you know, a jump-in points. We need to go to work. We need to go to work fast. So thank you for giving me the opportunity.
Thank you, brother. Thanks, Stephen. Have a great weekend. Yeah, things are not always as they appear to be. That's for sure. That is for sure. Well, 307-745-5913.
So, Tim, what I was going to say earlier, with the conversation we were having with things being exposed and everything that goes along with that, they love to have their evil deeds exposed. And I do certainly believe that we are closer to the kingdom than we have been, and there's a lot of movement in the correct direction. But I see it every day. One of the things that they are doing is I think they're exposing themselves through some of their people, their workers, just to be able to overwhelm our people and cause them to fear them instead of fearing God, because and folks can only handle so much saturation of information, and at some point, you know, they close off. And if you allow yourself to be oversaturated and go to a place of fear, you know, because they've got this and they've got that, and the way the information is presented so much of the time is in a way where there's not anything you can do about it. You know, it's because it's this great powerful machine that is before us and devouring us. And the previous caller is correct. We do have a lot of work to do, but all of that work should start out with prayer and having God to direct us as what to do, because it's different for each of us, each part of the body. But we need to start out with searching for guidance from Him, and then doing whatever it is that He gives us to do. But I've just recently, it seems like more so than ever, more people are being exposed to the truth or partial truths, or a lot of things that are going on, but in such a manner that it instills fear in them. And we know that at some point that neutralizes you if you are just afraid, and that's all.
Yeah, I really, really agree with that. I think that, and I think Paul in his writings, he spoke about that, you know, at a time when I should be feeding you meat, you have need that I take you back again and give you milk, you know, and that's not a slam. We all got to have a drink of milk once in a while, you know, it's kind of like, the Lord is my shepherd, you know, right. So I kind of always look at at that psalm as, it's a milk psalm, but it's got a lot of nutrients in it, you know, and go back to that, to those simple things and remember those, because while you're so busy jumping down the road or jumping down the rabbit hole or trying to explain all that, don't forget, you know, the root from where you came. I mean, it provides those, base things to us that strengthen us and help us grow and keep us strong. And I don't know why, but when you're saying that, it came to my mind over Thanksgiving. My granddaughter was here and she wasn't feeling well, and we finally ended up with her in the early morning hours because Mom and Dad were just so frazzled they couldn't handle it. And I'm sitting there rocking her and holding her and trying to get her to sleep. And I was like, honey, I just don't know what to do for you. And then, you know, it's just like God just reached down and kind of taps you on the head. And it was like, yeah, I do. I do it for everybody else. And, you get to pray with your granddaughter that's 14 months old for half an hour. I mean, that'll take you back. So.
You know, and that's where we should start. And in that healing, you know, what you're talking about right there, every time we have an ailment, that it should start with before you go get a glass of tea or take a Tylenol or definitely have surgery, you need to start out with prayer and, yes. And have him to guide you on what to do. And then if, you know, if you're led to apply that anointing oil and, you know, we've all got stories of situations that whenever you humble yourself and you do that and, you know, in today's society, we are so wise and we know so much and there's so many different tools and medicines and healings that it's just ridiculous to believe that some olive oil could have any kind of a, you know, a dot of olive oil could have any kind of a medical influence, on folks. But we know that that humility and that lining up, being in order with God in our household is so much and it can activate so much. And I've had it to where, you know, we've prayed about it and anointed, somebody and said, well, hey, why don't we try this? And you try that and it works and there's not any more pain and, you know, you get a healing from it. And that's from God. That's from our obedience and him giving us the tools to get better. He gave us that healing. And so you need to follow up being thankful on the backside of it.
Yes. Yes. Amen. That's a fact.
Amen.
But we got to be your neck willing. I missed it, Jason. What'd you say?
I said, Tim, what's going on in your neck of the woods?
Well, everybody's really uptight over this drought in this area this year. I mean, there's a lot of consternation over that. It's so dry. But I think that what amazes me, I think it's from God. I mean, I think that, of course, you know what it is. It doesn't matter what I think. But the point is I think that it's a restoral of faith and a restoral of community. And I've seen people's thought processes come to the forefront toward godly things, and new opportunities have presented themselves to present Jesus Christ in the way he does things to people that I've never had the opportunity to talk to. And there's a thoughtfulness and a mindfulness there. And it's like, wow, that's amazing. You know, I mean, I just, it leaves me in awe. God is, Paul and I were talking earlier and it's just an awesome, God is an awesome God. I mean, when you think about the fact that, and I don't know, it's the small things sometimes that leave me just astounded, but I was, you know, you think about all the people that were, have been created since Genesis 1, every one of them has a different fingerprint. I mean, every one of them has, you know, a unique iris. Every one of them has, isn't that just, I don't know, that should, are we so callous, are we so whatever that we can't see that? Because when I look around and see the might and majesty of God, it reigns in one area and not in another. You know, and there's just so many awesome things that God does. And we give too much credit to our enemies. And Peter, Pastor used to say that a lot, and I think he's right. We give them too much credit. They have nothing. They're a poor shadow, a poor copy of our God. That's all they can do is mimic, and they haven't got an original thought in their head. They distort, and they do all those things, but they you know, it's, they don't own a playbook. So, you know, it's just one of those, when we look at all that, but no, things are okay here. It's really tough to get eggs right now. I don't know if it's that way all over the place. The grocery stores practically has been out of eggs when they do have them. I mean, for days, out here, if you do find them,
out here, $6. The whole market, the eggs are over $4 a dozen right now. And
yeah.
So a couple of the big places here down in Colorado, they had the bird flu, and it pretty much just wiped it out. Basically, they had to kill all of their chickens. They had to go in and sanitize the buildings, the offices, everything. And basically, they do that, and then 30 days later, they come in and do swab tests on everything and see if they can find any. You know, any signs of bird flu still being present. And, there's this Morning Fresh, egg company down in down towards Denver, and they just basically I don't know what's going to happen to them if they're going to be able to survive it. They had to go to other different parts of the country and lease land and start growing their chickens and raising their chicks, just so that if hopefully in 6 months when they're able to open back up, they'll have some birds. And you're talking millions and millions of chickens. And
yes.
And I've heard a lot of people talk about how this bird flu was just a hoax and everything. Well, I know several people around here that lost all their chickens. I mean, they lost them in a matter of 2 or 3 days. A couple of them got sick, and then something else happened, and then within a week they were all gone. And it was a bad deal. We'll see what happens, but yeah, egg prices just through the roof, if you can find them. A lot of places have been having a hard time. We've been able to find them here. I mean, we haven't run out, but the price is just astronomical.
Yeah, they've all been doubled. Here in Laramie, it's that way too. And you look in the store, and usually it's about, 12 to 18 feet wide, where all the eggs are. And they've got so many different varieties of eggs, and it ain't that way anymore. You get a 12 or 18 pack of what they've got, and that's it. And like you said, Jason, the price is doubled. It's just crazy, and it's nowhere near what it was.
Well, they're running north of $5 a dozen here. So right now, when you can get them or find them, and then the amount, not only on the bird flu item, but also over the last 18 months, you can do an internet search and basically look up chicken producer fires, and you'll come up with several. But there have just been, it's the list is as long as my arm. That's not an exaggeration, of fires through the Midwest of chicken production units, both meat and egg, that have burned to the ground, all birds lost. And we're talking millions upon millions of poultry birds, turkeys, ducks, chickens. And these facilities have just burned. I mean, they're just gone. So there's, it's definitely an attack, definitely. But also, like I say, it's also an opportunity for us to, we talk about how bad these large corporate farms are and corporate farming and everything else. Look at it as an opportunity to isolate. And think about the isolation as regards the bird flu. If everybody had a flock of, who could, 30, 40 birds, they're already segregated by some distance, and stuff. I mean, there's been a lot of this that has, it's a systematic flaw in the way that this works. So God's going to set it right, and amen. I think I see that coming.
Well, that's what I was going to say, Tim. I wonder how many people will figure out that, hey, if I get a half dozen good hens, they'll make as many eggs as we'll use, for a normal small family. And then it doesn't affect them as much whenever the.
Yes. And plus you get the wonderful blessing of being able to give away your extras or sell them or whatever. I mean, it's like, I know sometimes it's like, well, we got like 40 dozen in the fridge. You need some eggs.
That's right.
That's so,
right. Guys, it's like that all over. It's not just that way. I mean, we're from all over the country here, Nebraska and Wyoming and Colorado and Mississippi and Michigan. And it's like that all over. And so if you're not doing that, maybe you're an apartment and you can't have chickens in your apartment. Okay. If you'll take a little time, find a local feed store, find a local co-op. There's anywhere in the nation. Within an hour, you can find this. You can find another source. You can find a family that's got 12 or 18 or however many chickens that have a little extra, and you can get local, fresh, healthy eggs. if you look a little bit, but you got to get off the couch. You got to spend a little time at it. And if you have problems with that, you call us here at the office during the week, and we can give you a few pointers on that thing, whether it's eggs, whether it's meat, milk, whatever. You can do that if you look. But you got to go look.
And maybe, too, you should pray about
Pray
about whether or not you should be in that apartment where you can't feed yourself.
Yes.
You know, and if the supply chain breaks.
Absolutely. Let me we're about done here. I want to read a little bit, just Isaiah 65. It says, therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. This is Isaiah 65:13. And he's speaking to his people that have turned away from him, that refuse to turn back to him. Okay? He says, you will starve, but my servants will eat. You will be thirsty, but they will drink. You will be sad and ashamed, but they will rejoice. You will cry in sorrow and despair, while my servants sing for joy. And, I mean, that's, there's that difference, you know, another reason to choose, like was mentioned earlier, don't need a man-made law. Here's a choice. Servants of God make it. It's as simple as that.
Well, not just make it, prosper.
Prosper.
We prosper.
Oh, yeah, across the...
If we are obedient to his will.
Yep, across the page, Isaiah 66, verse 14. When you see these things, your heart will rejoice. Vigorous health will be yours. Vigorous health. Not just, you know, not just getting by. It reminds me of, where is it, Psalms 105? David writes that when God brought his children out of Israel, none feeble. None. None were sick. Why? Because they had obeyed and partaken of the Passover meal and had obeyed. And there was healing in obedience. And it is that way today. Well, guys, we are all but out of time. I want to thank everybody for joining us. And I do want to invite you to live church tomorrow. We'll be there. Good Lord willing, and the creek don't freeze. We'll be there. 8:30 a.m. Mountain Time, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 on the West Coast, but we hope you can join us. I got a college student driving in. He texted me and let me know he's going to be there with us live. But you don't have to drive to the LaPorte Church of Christ. You can join us at scripturesforamerica.org. At those times, click on the live stream, and good Lord willing, we're planning on being there. Live message for you tomorrow. So hope you'll join us. Guys, again, God bless, and we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them hells and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more,
snake high.
Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high. Right on.
Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we